The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voices of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speak, Lord, and give us ears to listen. Amen. Please be seated. So I want to invite us to hear the gospel again this morning. It's a short gospel. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So we know well the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd, which is an image that occurs in the Gospel of John immediately following our reading this morning. But that image does not appear in the portion we hear, in which instead Jesus tells us twice, "I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate." Likewise, we are inclined to view ourselves as the sheep who so long for that good shepherd who can keep us safe, who can save us. Yet again, the text confounds us and invites us to consider that something else is going on. Jesus is clear that it is the one who enters through the gate who is saved and not the sheep. It's whoever enters through that gate and is able to venture into that place where the sheep have been kept safe, where the sheep have been waiting, that's the person who is saved.
And so the shepherd then is able to enter through the gate of Christ to mingle with the sheep in love and familiarity and trust, and then to lead them out, where they will follow happily to a place where they can spend their days, a place of pasture, a place of grazing and lingering peacefully. The sheep are kept safe within the fold, and the sheep are watched over lovingly in the field. And I am very tempted to skip ahead to the image of the Good Shepherd and not to linger in the strangeness of Christ as gate. But it is the nature of parables that they often don't say what we think they do, and we need often to spend more time with their paradoxes, their contradictions, their lacunae, the things that they leave out or gloss over or that just seem strange. A parable isn't like a easy fable that has a clear moral at the end of it, but is instead something which leads us to the truth by way of a journey of engagement, not the simple recognition of a familiar judgment, an obvious outcome. And indeed, it's that way with the Good Shepherd too, who Jesus describes as laying down their life to keep the sheep safe. Yet this is not what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd has to protect themselves in order that they can be there for their flock. If they allow themselves to be killed by something which threatens the flock, then the sheep will likely follow. But that's not the parable that's before us. So Jesus tells us that the sheep follow the shepherd because their voice is familiar. We could say perhaps even reassuring, but that's not the same as the shepherd being the thing that the sheep really want. I used to keep sheep, and I'm pretty sure that what they really want is to find a way through the gate on their own, to go to the barn where the grain is kept, to eat of it abundantly until they have bloat, and, you know, at that point, the vet has to be called. And the shepherd is the one who corrals them and maybe even binds them. And, you know, they have their stomach pumped, they're fed something bitter to break up the foam that's building up in their rumen. And that's the sort of thing that the shepherd has to do. The shepherd is the one who keeps them from what they want, with varying degrees of success, and who is often responsible for orchestrating terrible ordeals for the sheep to endure, from shearing and hoof trimming to interventions by the vet. And that relationship unfolds day in and day out over the entire course of the sheep's life. And so it is that the shepherd comes to be an expected part of the environment. And the sheep may learn that certain sounds followed by their names, particularly some very short words, usually loud and accompanied by the shepherd running towards them, are indicators that it would be a good time to be somewhere else and to move away from the shepherd. But generally, most of the time, the shepherd's presence is tolerated. No more threatening or needed, for that matter, than a tree or a fence. The shepherd's presence is just a part of normality. And indeed, sometimes there might be some special treats or some pleasure to be had in leaning against the shepherd until petting and scratching occur. Sometimes they lean into the shepherd's embrace so hard they knock the shepherd over. That's part of the relationship, too. And so the sheep follow the shepherd with perhaps a little cajoling and maybe the hope of grain. And this is an unremarkable thing because it is what they have come to know, the rhythm of life as much as the change of seasons, the rise and fall of the sun. And there is some comfort to be had in that. But the gate remains a stumbling block. I don't have some grand reveal well planned for you this morning in which I have something to convey, like that the voice of the shepherd is truth and the gate is what Hume referred to as moral taste. I think there's probably a sermon in that, but it doesn't seem true enough to me this morning to share it with you. And preaching is, I suppose, not so much about the conclusions that we arrive at together or that I impart in some dubiously skillful way, but also about relationship. It's my relationship with God the text, this congregation, and what I can glimpse and think maybe I know something about of your relationships with one another, with God, the text, the community, and my effort in turn to try to have some sense of what is going on in each of those things. And the truth is that most preaching, certainly most of mine, comes not out of what the preacher has to say, but what the preacher needs to hear. And sharing that process is a vulnerable, clumsy, and at times even beautiful sort of thing, because it is imbued with the messiness and wholeness that is the journey of the life of faith. The slow and grueling, really, revelation of a little truth here and there, the moments of regret and anguish, the feelings of longing, and even, perhaps often, fragments of confusion and stumbling and failure. There are some things that I think I know, but their truth, if they have any, emerges not because I've arrived at some sure and certain conclusion, but because it can be shared. And this is actually what I think Jesus is gesturing at least in part, in this parable. But it's a provisional truth, a partial reading, which seems to give a little life, but is not some final and absolute knowledge. You see, I wonder if it isn't the case that each of us is the shepherd, and everyone else is to us the sheep. When we enter through the path of Christ, we can be in genuine, authentic relationship with one another because we are seen and recognized as who we are, and we allow ourselves to be seen. We allow ourselves to be present. Now, the sheep don't know what the shepherd gets up to outside of field and fold, as each of us finds the lives of others to be a mystery. And yet, the things that we share together are a gift and a blessing. And for a short while, we find pasture here, together, in the field of earth. The gate, the holy boundary, which Christ tells us is himself, I want that to be truth because I feel like rhetorically there's something to be done there that could be quite lovely. But perhaps Christ, the gate, is just the gift of life itself. Nothing more complicated than that. After all, it is through Christ that creation emerges, the logos by which all things are spoken, sung, dreamed, painted into being. And we pass back and forth through those gates, and others come with us, and here, together, we dwell for a little while. And in familiarity and stumbling, in authenticity and truth, in clumsy and difficult and enduring love, we dwell together in the pasture, like the shepherd and the sheep. And so may we find that path, that gate, which leads us out of ourselves and into life and love with and for all. Amen.